from 11 to 3, and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Internet gambling's gotten too big for its britches. It's illegal, and it's hurting legal games, say some. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says a new bill to outlaw the use of credit cards for online betting may once again fall short in the Senate.
The bill has a long and at times sordid history. It came close to passing once before, but was killed through the efforts of now-disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff, who represented some gambling businesses and used his influence with the office of then-Majority Leader Tom DeLay. Abramoff's name was mentioned often in the debate. Current lobbyists managed to score some points, though, with exemptions in the bill for online betting on state lotteries and horse races.
Commuter trains with occasional cars split wide open by terror bombs left 160 people or more dead in Bombay, officially called Mumbai. Dozens more were injured. CBS's Ranjan Gupta says a new workday dawns there soon for an outraged nation.
All the major cities like Delhi and Calcutta are on high alert. People are being asked to be very cautious. People will probably go to work, but everybody is a bit afraid.
In cities like New York,
there is no evidence suggesting that New York City is a target. But as we all know, vigilance is just the reality of the post-9/11 world.
New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says alert is just smart. The Bush administration, led by the Supreme Court's decision, has decided to extend Geneva Convention protections to terror suspects being held at Guantanamo Naval Base.
The Pentagon stands to gain a lot from this change of policy because now, arguably, our own soldiers around the world have a better chance to gain themselves the protections of the Geneva Convention from enemy states. I think the reciprocity issue here was a big factor.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. A new Cornell medical study on lung cancer shows women are twice as likely to get it and twice as likely to survive it, too.
When they came in for lung cancer screening at several centers around the U.S., just over 1% of the male smokers were diagnosed with cancer, while 2% of the women had cancer. A big difference that surprised the researchers. They also found that the women have about double the chance of beating the cancer and surviving. They're not sure why.
CBS News correspondent Dan Revive. Modern DNA tests have freed another innocent man from the clutches of concrete and iron bars. 18 years for rape someone else committed.
Before dismissing the charges, the judge said the conviction of an innocent person is the worst nightmare of anyone in the judicial system. Then he looked at James Tillman and said, "Good luck, sir," in front of the courthouse, surrounded by family, lawyers, and reporters.
I give thanks to Jesus just for, you know, he said, you know, the truth will set you free, and I'm free.
Tillman says his future will be whatever God leads him to. Chris Francis for CBS News, Hartford.
On Wall Street today, the Dow gained about 31 points to close at 11,134. The Nasdaq was up nearly 12 points, and oil prices hit $74.16 a barrel, up 55 cents. This is CBS News.
Being a realtor is the all-American job.
I'm an entrepreneur at heart.
I'm a small business, just like the coffee shop on the corner.
Very involved in my community.
We do more than just help people buy and sell homes. It has to do with making a difference in people's lives.
Helping people find a piece of the American dream is the best job in the whole world.
Realtors don't just help you buy and sell homes. They're small business owners who help build communities. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I help people live the American dream every day.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
KYW's Lynn Adkins says for kids fighting cancer, the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty is extra special.
The teens from all over the country have one thing in common, cancer. The Sunshine Kids Foundation, a nonprofit group, sponsored this trip to Philadelphia and New York to give the kids a chance to forget about chemotherapy, needles, and doctors. Diana Maid of Camden celebrated her 14th birthday with her new friends.
Getting through chemotherapy was really hard because I got sick a lot.
15-year-old Carlo Carrillo of Texas hasn't traveled much, but already had a favorite sight.
The bell. He has a lot of history behind it.
15-year-old Willie Burke of Oregon was waiting for the good stuff.
Man, I want to eat some cheesesteaks.
The teens head home Saturday, many back to treatment. Lynn Adkins, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Half a dozen northern New Jersey police officers are accused of protecting drug dealers by letting them know when the raids were coming. Prosecutors say it started out as friendships, progressed to sharing drugs, cocaine and such, and from there to protection. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer. Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey doc, I think I might have ED.
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hem, or haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
Would be me, friends. And we're all ready for another live, unscripted, unrehearsed, three-hour radio talk show. I mean, if we had to have scripts and rehearse it, it'd be too much trouble. Over the next 3 hours, we'll bring you news, views, and voices that are missing from the corporate mainstream media in far too many cases. In our first hour, we're going to talk with editor Bill Katofsky, who's put together a powerful new book called Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. One of the people who contributed a chapter to the book is Bogdan Zakovic, who was working before 9/11 on the red team that worked for the Federal Aviation Administration trying to find weaknesses in our airport security. Bogdan Zakovic will be with us a little bit later. He is a member, too, of Sibel Edmonds' group, the group she started called the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. And that distinction is shared with Mel Goodman, who will join us next hour, a former CIA analyst who is the co-author of the book Bush League Diplomacy. He's going to fill us in on the interesting remarks made by Congressman Pete Hoekstra, over the weekend, a Republican who criticized the Bush administration for its failure to brief him and others who should have been briefed on a yet undisclosed eavesdropping, surveillance, or other spy program of some sort. We'll see what we can find out about that from Mel Goodman. And then our weekly visit with investigative reporter Jason Leopold. He's going to talk about the political benefits of the war on terror and point out that it's been a while since we've been on yellow, orange, or red alert. And he says that that's not an accident. Also on today's show, Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They have a new tainted congressman, a Republican from Pennsylvania, Representative Don Sherwood. Also, more information on Jack Abramoff's visits to the White House, and we'll talk about Dollar Bill Jefferson. The judge in the case has said that search of his Capitol Hill office was okay, was passing legal muster. And we'll also talk about the interesting way that Congressman John Doolittle of California permits his wife to collect a 15% commission on every campaign contribution that comes in. And she's been spending that lavishly, friends. We'll share that information with you. It's all ahead, plus our free speech zone, where we take your calls on any subject from any point of view. That's the Peter B. Collins Show, and you can call us in the meantime. Lines are available whenever you'd like to chat with us, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, and 888-579-2540 toll free. That's 888-579-2540. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And I just allowed a moment of silence because not everybody knows this, but I operate from a secret bunker studio north of San Francisco. And today, right across the street, a construction crew has been operating a jackhammer since 9 in the morning. I went over there about lunchtime and I said, guys, you think you could wrap up by the time I start my show? And I can tell by the silence that they have. It's such a relief. But if you hear pounding in the background, it means they've gone back to work. And do not be distressed or alarmed. Bill Kotosky joins us. He's the author, or actually the editor, of this new book, Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent. He was co-author of the award-winning book, Embedded, The Media at War in Iraq, the last time we spoke with him. Bill Kotosky, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hello, Peter. Is Dick Cheney in the bunker with you?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
But we have a no-shotgun rule here. He can have as many beers as he wants, but no shotguns are permitted. Bill, how are you doing?
Fine. Ready, aim, fire. Fire away your questions.
Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. This is a book that's hard to put down, and I attempted to skim through a couple of the powerful testimonials from the founder of the Ruckus Society, Max Cleland's powerful piece. We're going to talk to Bogdan Zukovic here in just a moment. What's the common thread that unites the people who contributed items to this book, Bill Kotosky?
Well, let me clarify one thing up front, though. It's an oral history, and it's unlike an anthology. It's a compilation of oral histories, which means is that I interview each of the contributors to the book, and I edit and I fix the grammar, but it's all in their own voice. So it's kind of a misnomer to say that they're the sort of authors, but it's all their words. I'm sort of like this big ear on the wall. And, you know, many of the interviews take anywhere from 2 hours to 6 hours, and they're usually spread out over a period of time. Mm-hmm. But the genesis of the book actually occurred about 2 days after the 2004 presidential election. And like many people here in California, I was suffering from post-partisan depression. It was pretty much of a bummer to know that the Republicans were going to be in the White House for another 4 years. And it was fortuitous because my editor of Embedded wrote me an email and says, why don't you write a book about the age of McCarthyism? Because, you know, it's about, and, you know, talk about the McCarthy era and the parallels to today. And I thought about it, and I go, wait a second, why should I even dig back into the future? This is the age of McCarthyism right now, where people are, who've criticized the Bush administration, who criticized the war in Iraq, have all been denounced as un-American, unpatriotic, treasonous. You know, during the election campaign, it was common to hear, you know, Republicans say, you know, a vote for John Kerry is a vote for Osama bin Laden. Well, that's kind of nonsense.
Well, and to extend your metaphor perhaps to the breaking point, we've had the part of Senator Joe McCarthy played by a rotating cast of neocon characters, and the part of Edward R. Murrow has yet to be cast.
In fact, Edward R. Murrow probably has the best quote of them all. And I recommend everyone to see the George Clooney movie. It's, you know, dissent should not be confused with disloyalty. And what we find is any dissent, even today, whether it's the New York Times, you know, or it could be a whistleblower like Bogdan Zukovic, are denounced. And, you know, you're talking about the freedom of press, freedom of speech, and a lot of the First Amendment rights are immediately sort of stripped away during the wartime. And especially it was a case, there's one interview in the book with a Syrian-American foreign national, 19-year-old girl, woman, and by the name of Nadine Hamoui, and she and her mother and her father were arrested and sent off to the INS detention facility in Seattle because, you know, the government decided to go down the path of of detaining foreign nationals who they suspected of, you know, having terrorist ties. And the only problem with the Hamoui family was that they were in this country legally because they were trying to seek political asylum. They had a bad attorney. The father used to be a pilot with the Syrian Air Force until he was arrested and imprisoned there and tortured. And, you know, he was a grocer of a Mediterranean market in Seattle and well-loved. And he, like many other people in the country, were swept up. Thousands were put in detention. And yet no one has found any terrorist links with any of these detainees. You know, of course, they were released, but, you know, they're still fighting to, you know, be natural citizens.
Well, and the rest of us have been cowed into not speaking up. on behalf of the individuals whose rights have been violated, whether it's the very overt versions at Guantanamo Bay, the people who were swept up and held without charges and incommunicado, in particularly in New York, after 9/11 for up to 24 months. And we have a stunning silence on the part of many Americans who should know better.
Not only a stunning silence at the Republican National Convention in 2004, there was a holding facility for protesters, and it was nicknamed Gitmo on the Hudson. And if you were just happened to be on the sidewalk, even not protesting, the policy of the NYPD was to, like, swoop up everyone. They use these huge orange barricade nets, and it was like, you know, fishing season on the San Francisco Bay looking for salmon. Anyone, whether you're a protester, or you were a journalist, whether you were, you know, just standing there, you know, with a sign, the NYPD acted in a way that, you know, flaunts the, or flies in the face of, you know, constitutional rights. And close to 1,700 people were arrested, and many were held up to 30 hours, and most of the cases were thrown out. And the ACLU, of course, is suing them, the government and the NYPD, for, you know, legal detention. And there was a chapter with one of the protesters. You know, he just happened to be bicycling along the main parade route on Sunday with, you know, 500,000 other protesters or demonstrators against the war and against Bush. And he was just on his bicycle, and he and his, some of his buddies were just, you know, tackled by police who were also on other bicycles, you know, as sort of like spies, and they were on motorcycles knocking them over, and it was very brutal. And yet this happens more often than not. And yet the media tends to vilify and demonize protesters as it's almost as in cahoots. We pretty much can write off Fox News as being unfair and unbalanced. But the other part of the media is sort of cowed into complacency and silence as well.
Oh, yeah. They join the chorus far too often. That's Bill Katovsky, K-A-T-O-V-S-K-Y. This book, a collection of interviews, oral history, as he described it, is called Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent, and the Risk of Speaking Out. And one of the people who contributed to the book is Bogdan Zakovic, D-Z-A-K-O-V-I-C, who was on the red team at the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. Bogdan joins us now. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for speaking out. And you are part of a select group organized by my friend Sabelle Edmonds, the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition. And I thank you for your support of that effort, too, because before the coalition was formed, I felt Sabelle Edmonds was out there all by her lonesome, challenging John Ashcroft, the state secret privilege, and the various efforts by our government to officially silence her.
Right. Sabelle Edmonds is a fireball, and she organized, I think it's around 100 people now from various federal agencies that have joined the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, and we've tried collectively to try to influence Congress to change the laws on whistleblowers and to get the government to do something about the information that whistleblowers provide. And for some reason, Congress is very reticent about even listening to us.
Yeah. Well, Bogdan, you have quite a story to tell, and we're going to take a break here, and when we return, I want to give you the opportunity to explain to our listeners the work you were doing, how valuable it was, and how after 9/11 your red team was grounded. And as you attempted to bring to light information through the 9/11 Commission, you were permitted to testify, but your words barely even showed up. I think it was just a footnote in the 9/11 Commission report. We'll pick up there as we continue with Bogdan Zakovic and the editor of this new book, Bill Katovsky. It's called Patriots Act. If you'd like to join us, grab a line at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. With the Jackhammer Chorus right across the street, I'm Peter B. Collins. Your dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollandrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
It is useless to resist us.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes past the hour. We're talking about a new book called Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. The interviews were conducted by Bill Kotofsky, and he edited the book as well. One of the contributors is with us, Bogdan Zukovic. And I can't help but dip into one of my favorite songs here, because being in the presence of a whistleblower makes me proud to be an American.
I'm proud of all the good things we've done. There's television, free religion, rock and roll, standard oil, Times Square, Jimmy Derrick, Orwell, Wells, and Volkey Bear, price reduction, reconstruction, D-score, and lots more culture that we got to learn. I'm proud of you.
As we mentioned before the break, Bogdan Zukovic was working for the United States government for the Federal Aviation Administration prior to 9/11, and he headed up a squad of the Red Team. He was also an air marshal for a time, and so his focus on air security has been very sharp for a long period of time.
And Bogdan, as you describe in the book, and as Bill Katofsky published a kind of parallel piece that was in the San Francisco Chronicle's opinion section this past Sunday, you tell the story of your efforts to try to prevent attacks by terrorists, try to patch up the vulnerabilities in our security system, and you ran into a lot of big brick walls. Let's start with the fact that you were invited to testify before the 9/11 Commission, and they took your testimony and did absolutely nothing with it.
Right. I testified on May 22nd of 2003. My written statement was about 7 or 8 pages long, and I spoke for about 20 minutes off the cuff. And my only contribution to their final report is they have my name on page 441 or something like that as a contributor. That's it.
And what did you, if you can summarize it for us in bullet points, what did you try to convey to the 9/11 Commission based on your intimate knowledge of the vulnerabilities in our airplane security?
Well, the Red Team was established after Pan Am 103 by Congress, and they told FAA to have this team to replicate tactics that terrorists would use so that we could develop appropriate defensive measures against those tactics. And I joined the team in 1995, and it took me about 2 years to realize that there was a serious problem in aviation security. It took because I started going back to the same airports around the world and domestically and documented the fact that we kept finding problems in aviation security that weren't being fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried working through the normal chain of command, and that was a pointless effort. In August of 1998, I sent a letter to the administrator of FAA, who was Jane Garvey, and I tried to convince her that there was a dangerous culture of mismanagement within FAA security.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't even respond to my letter, didn't even have the courtesy to acknowledge receipt.
Yeah.
And I knew she was going to do that because I knew what kind of person she was, so I simultaneously sent a letter to the Secretary of Transportation, who was Rodney Slater at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he at least had the courtesy to acknowledge receipt, and he infoed me on a letter that he sent back to Jane Garvey, and he said, telling Jane Garvey, you might want to check into these allegations, but it was not an order. It was just something you might want to do.
Right.
And
now,
even with that, she didn't do anything.
You argue that one of the big issues was that the airlines did not want to spend the money on security because prior to 9/11, the way it was structured, they had to bear the expense. And so they were hiring a lot of people who had no skills, no real education. They were underpaying them. And the whole effort was quite slipshod. Now, things have changed since 9/11. We have TSA members in uniforms, and they're getting paid better, and they're federal employees. They don't work for the airlines. But as you point out, what we've really done is simply made flying miserable for most of the general public. And, Bogdan, I am reminded of the Maginot Line, that we have created a maximum defense against the last attack, but we're not really thinking creatively the way a terrorist might about countering what we've developed with something new or different.
Well, I don't even think we would thwart the last attack with what we're doing now.
Yeah,
they could still pretty much, by varying their tactics very little, they could accomplish the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And what are the vulnerabilities at Logan Airport in Boston in particular, where most of the hijackers took off on 9/11?
Well, what happened with Logan is, this is before 9/11, starting about 1999, a number of the FAA agents up there started complaining about the very poor security, which was occurring primarily because of one of the good old boys who happened to be female. You know, I use that term generically.
That's okay.
but one of the good old boys from FAA was promoted into that position with absolutely no background in security. She was a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Who was on very good terms with people.
Yeah.
And she was in that position. And anyway, the FAA agents up there started complaining, just like I did, through the chain of command and got nowhere. And they went to the Inspector General's office and tried mm-hmm. to convince him to do something. He didn't do anything.
Bogdan, we have to go to a break. Can you stay over for another segment?
I can.
Great. We'll continue in just a moment, and we'll be rejoined by Bill Katofsky next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540, KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're honoring whistleblowers, people who have risked their lives and their careers to tell the truth about misdeeds that they see occurring in their line of work. As we mentioned, Bogdan Zakovic is a member of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, founded by Sabelle Edmonds, who you've heard on this program many times before. And another member of that group will join us in about a half an hour, Mel Goodman, a former CIA analyst, now a fellow at the Center for International Policy. And we're going to talk about the known unknowns. Congressman Hoekstra over the weekend telling us that there's a program out there that he hasn't been briefed on. And well, raises a whole bunch of questions that we'll pursue with Mel Goodman coming up in about half an hour. Bogdan Zukovic, as we mentioned, is a former FAA a terrorism. What's the best way to describe it? You were on this team that essentially was trying to work on security issues by looking for vulnerabilities and sometimes posing as unsavory characters.
Right. The basic mission of the Red Team was to replicate the tactics and equipment that the terrorists would use in the aviation environment. So we did that as closely as we could. So basically, we were acting as terrorists.
Yeah. Now, before the break, I'd asked you a little bit about the way the 9/11 Commission just, seemed completely uninterested in your testimony. And you point out in your comments to Bill Katovsky, published in this book, that nobody has been held accountable for the gross failures of our air security system on 9/11. And, Bogdan, I point out that when a team loses the Super Bowl, they get a new coach, they get a new quarterback, a lot of things change. Well, we got skunked in the Super Bowl of 9/11, and the people who failed us the most got promoted the furthest and the fastest.
Right, right. Yeah, there were actually quite a few managers, in particular in FAA security, who actively thwarted improvements in aviation security prior to 9/11. That have since been promoted either within FAA or when they got transferred to TSA, they were promoted. And some of them are now key players in TSA, which, as you know, has been plagued with all kind of problems for the last 4 years, five years.
And the other thing, Bogdan, is I had the opportunity to sit in on the work of the 9/11 Commission for several days in Washington. I was there for the public testimony, such as it was, from Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, and Condoleezza Rice. And I was shocked at the manner in which they were so offhand about what had occurred, the systems that had failed. And they played this kind of game where it was very clear to me that everybody understood that they could investigate all they wanted as long as they didn't go too deep.
Right.
And so many people believe that the 9/11 Commission was valid, credible, and that its proposals should all be implemented. But I think it was a whitewash in many respects, and that it was intended to maintain a cover-up, not to blow it.
Right. I agree with you. It was a whitewash. One of the very last rationale that the Commission gave for the failures on the part of the government was due to a lack of imagination on the part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a complete lie. All they had to do was look at the facts and abide by the oath of office that they took to defend this country, and 9/11 wouldn't have happened, and we wouldn't be in this quagmire that we're in right now, or at least we'd be able to delay it a number of years.
What's your response to General Hayden's testimony when he was confirmed to run the CIA? He said that if he had been permitted to run the NSA surveillance programs, including the data mining of phone records and the eavesdropping of international telephone calls, that 9/11 could have been prevented. I agree with you that it could have been prevented, but I don't agree with General Hayden that we needed to invade the privacy of Americans in order to prevent 9/11.
Right, we didn't need to. If FAA security would have done the job that the taxpayer thought it was doing, 9/11 wouldn't have happened. Just something simple like that.
Mm-hmm. Got a caller for you on the line, Dave from Eureka. Dave, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with whistleblower Bogdan Zukovic.
Gentlemen, if you haven't made the same leap, if you haven't studied the same evidence, I will sound a bit far out, but everything to me points to 9/11 was an inside job. They had wanted it. They had planned it. They had expressed the need for it to get the support of the people to invade in the Middle East. They caused it to happen. How could Bin Laden have kept our Air Force on the ground for an hour and a half while all this was going on? Anyway, do you make the leap with me, or it's crazy?
we'll get a net out. Bogdan?
I really don't have any information on that. Nothing would surprise me. But another member of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, Colleen Rowley, I talked to her some time ago.
Sure, the former FBI agent from Minnesota who's running for the Congress this year.
Right, and she put it the best way. She said that what happened on 9/11 was a conspiracy of stupidity, if I remember her words exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically every single agency is plagued with the same kind of problems that I identified in FAA. You've got the good old boy club. There's no accountability on the part of managers, no matter what they do. And you combine all these problems, which you'll have to read the book Patriots Act to find out about FAA. But Colleen Riley is also in the book, if I remember right. And it, in my opinion, it was primarily just, you know, government agencies that have become so fat and bloated and unaccountable that allowed these problems to happen. And the sad thing is, things are worse now than they are than they were before 9/11, which is why I've contributed to this book.
And do you understand, even if you're not prepared to make the leap that Dave describes, that many Americans are left with so many serious doubts about what we've been told occurred on 9/11, the failure to hold accountable the people who let us down, that it does feed conspiracy theory thinking?
Sure. The whitewash of the 9/11 Commission itself contributes to this. And if our founding fathers were alive today, there is no doubt in my mind that they would find the 9/11 commissioners guilty of treason and treat them accordingly.
Very good, sir. Bogdan Zukovic, thank you for joining us. I want to return with Bill Katosky now. Bill, come on back on the line here. And Bill, just before we let Bogdan go, I wanted to see if you had any comments on his contributions to your book and to your overall theme of a courageous dissent.
Well, the problem with a whistleblower in this country is...
I think we dropped the wrong caller there. So we'll get Bill back on the line here in just a second. And I want to thank Bogdan Zukovic for joining us. And you should read the book called Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent. It is very powerful, with testimony from people like Max Cleland, the former one-term senator from Georgia whose career was ended by the dirty tricks of Karl Rove. There's a great profile of John Sellers, who founded the Ruckus Society, was very active in the Seattle WTO protests, where I got free tear gas from the Seattle police. Also, Tweety Blansett, who was on our program 6 weeks or so ago, a New Mexico cattle rancher who is working to get the energy industry in her state to clean up its act. Mort Saul is in this book. Also, Paul Hackett, the courageous gentleman who ran for Congress and for the Senate from the state of Ohio. Also, Randy Rhodes from Air America. And who else is in here? Colleen Rowley, we mentioned. And also Paul Krugman of the New York Times, who has taken on the White House and been reprimanded on a couple of occasions. And other people are featured in here as well. Rand Beers, who was a special assistant to the president for terrorism, who quit 5 days just before the war in Iraq began. And the final chapter of the book is commentary from Daniel Ellsberg, who, of course, was courageous enough to blow the whistle back during the Vietnam era and bring us the Pentagon Papers. Bill Katosky is back with us. Sorry, the technical goof there, Bill. But go ahead and complete your thought about Bogdan and whistleblowers.
Well, let me follow up on what he said, the conspiracy of stupidity. When Colleen Riley was working as the legal counsel in the Minneapolis field office of the FBI, she was trying to get a search warrant for one of the computers of a fellow, a French Moroccan foreign national by the name of Zachary Massawi, and yet there was this sort of legalistic procedure that needed to be addressed, and it was called the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
You're right.
And yet she made a number of entreaties to her FBI superiors in Washington, you know, to allow the agents in her office to investigate the material or the contents of the computer and its possessions, because they had no idea why this guy who could barely speak English, who didn't know how to fly, wanted to take flying lessons and learn how to simulation of a 747. Anyway, after 9/11, according to Colleen Riley, you had FBI Director Robert Mueller going on the air saying, "We knew of no one training in flight school, otherwise you might have been able to prevent 9/11. But they also had memos from a Phoenix field office that also had reports of a Arab American trying to fly an airplane. And they could not connect the dots then. And yet for a few weeks, they had this information, and the FBI, with Mueller, you know, as the front person, was saying, we had no information. Anyway, Colleen Riley addressed that in a memo, which was the one that leaked to the Time magazine, which put her on the cover of Time magazine, which also led her to be Time magazine co-person of the year as a whistleblower with the woman from Enron and also from WorldCom.
Mm-hmm.
The conspiracy of stupidity is also the conspiracy of bureaucratic inertia and the conspiracy of covering your own butt if you're working in the government. Nobody is accountable. What did George Tenet receive after he left the CIA?
The Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, and, you know, didn't he say something like WMDs is a slam dunk?
Yes, he did.
You know, I guess we're so accustomed to the lies and the half-truths and the attacking anyone who's speaking the truth, like Bogdan, they were the ones who become vilified, and it should be the other way around.
Well, and this is where I may sound like a Republican, but we've heard so much about the vaunted values of personal responsibility and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in George Bush's world, these are concepts that are applied to little people, not to people who operate in the government.
I think Bush's problem with the truth is a lot to deal with his own personal psychopathology. Here's a guy who's failed in about in every business and every encounter that he's ever had in his life, but he's always bailed out. You know, look at his oil businesses. He never struck oil, but he was able to strike gold when he had friends bail him out.
Yeah, mostly Saudi friends.
Absolutely. And, you know, look at today. He inherited a budget surplus, and now we have, what is it, a $300 billion deficit right now? A war in Iraq that's up to $400-500 billion when it was supposed to be pegged at $80 billion and the oil in the ground was supposed to pay for it. Here's a guy that does not know how to achieve a victory where it counts. He's a guy who's so stubborn and willful that he surrounds himself with other people who also share that mindset. And when you have that type of groupthink, I think that's one of those sociological terms that you heard from like the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
You have that sort of groupthink. What they do is that anyone who dissents is immediately pegged as a pariah and is sort of banned from the inner circle. And so they just sort of reinforce their own myopic views and views that are shared by Cheney, that were shared by Rumsfeld, that are shared by Bush and also Rice.
We're talking Bill Katovsky. Patriots Act is this new book, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. When we return, I want to talk about some of the other people profiled in the book, including former Senator Max Cleland of Georgia. If you have a question or comment, join us 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free from anywhere within the sound of my voice on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
You go to MerleHaggard.com, the guy who did the song Okie from Muskogee, and right there on his site is him doing a music video of his song where he's saying basically no to the Bushes.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm telling you, when you've lost Merle Haggard, then you know George W. Bush is in serious, serious trouble. When country music fans turn against the president, the most conservative part of America is gone, and they're not going to come back.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
Ten minutes away from the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. That makes me your humble host, Peter B. We continue with Bill Katofsky, the editor of this new oral history called Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. And, Bill, one of the powerful early segments of the book is with Max Cleland, who was a Vietnam veteran, triple amputee, served as Secretary of State of Georgia, and then when Sam Nunn retired, jumped in
teaching at a university at Emory for a while. He's also he has campaigned for Democratic veterans, war veterans, including Paul Hackett last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy Duckworth, who is running for Congress in outside Chicago, and then she's a young woman who lost both her legs as a helicopter pilot in Iraq.
Right.
You know, he's still actively campaigning, but Max is not somebody who feeds off the trough of the public for his own personal, you know, wealth or self-aggrandizement. Not at all. He's very selfless in that respect. And, you know, I don't think he was bought off, and I really believe that he will return, hopefully, to the public arena, and when the Democrats get their act together, I think they will recognize. He's been asked, you know, many people wanted him to run for president. An excerpt from the book appeared on Salon.com in April, and the letters that came on Salon.com all were so enthusiastic and cheering. You know, Max, we need you back in the political arena. Don't leave. We need your voice. We need your spirit. You are such an inspiration. And it was letter after letter. And Max has that effect. He absolutely, more than anybody else in the book, articulated the soul of the Democratic Party, which I believe has been hollowed out.
We're talking with Bill Katofsky here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Bill, just last night, before I cracked your book and read the first chapter about John Sellers, the founder of the Ruckus Society, I was talking to my friend Rory, who's on his way to Seattle today for a little vacation. And I mentioned the last time I'd been there was during the WTO protests, and I got that free tear gas. And he scratched his head, and he said, you know, I've been trying to figure out what happened in Seattle. Was it a riot by the protesters? And I said, no. It was a riot by the police.
Mm-hmm.
There were a handful of skinheads who did some vandalism at Nike Town and a few other places, and there were a few acts of provocation by some of the direct action people. But by and large, it was police overreaction that led to the headlines there. And when you talked with John Sellers, he pointed that out, that, you know, frequently after big events like this, the history is rewritten. Likewise, he was involved with Woody Harrelson's protest on the Golden Gate Bridge that got a lot of attention. But again, after the fact, these events are played as acts of provocation without political content. They are seen, you know, more like vandals or hooligans. And I'm curious if he recognizes that in your exchanges with him.
Absolutely. I think that's the core of what Ruckus Society does. I mean, they're not, you know, ski mask anarchists running through the streets throwing garbage cans through, you know, Starbucks and McDonald's. They're very cohesive. They're on message. They practice nonviolent civil disobedience. They have a very creative flair in terms of getting press, getting the headlines. I mean, when they staged the Golden Gate Bridge protest, you know, all they did was hang a banner over the bridge protesting foresting up in of old timber in old redwood groves
in Humboldt County.
And, you know, they were made very sure that they abided by all the security in terms of the protesters weren't hurt, that motorists weren't, you know, in jeopardy. You know, of course, the traffic had stopped and when the police came. And no one was arrested by that action. It was far different in Seattle. What John had told me about Seattle is that at the time, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal even called it a protest by the riots, a cop-and-cop riot. But what happened when every time that John appeared on Fox News to talk about the WT riots in Seattle, they would always show in the background, you know, kids throwing garbage cans or rocks through the windows. And what happens is that image becomes sort of engraved in sort of the retina of our consciousness.
Yeah, the B-roll ends up being more prominent than the A-roll when somebody's talking and has something to say.
Absolutely. And if over a period of time, if that's the only thing that people remember, and I admit, before I interviewed him, I actually had a misconception about Seattle. I actually thought he was, you know, the ringleader of the violence. It was really Madeleine Albright who said, you know, this meeting of the WTO must open at all costs. And the federal government put pressure on the Seattle police to do everything they could. And
Bill, I got to stop you there. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for a great concept and a powerful book. It's a must-read, Patriots Act, Voices of Dissent and the Risk of Speaking Out. We've just scratched the surface here. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Peter.
And my thanks to Bogdan Zukovic for joining us, too. Mel Goodman next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
India suffers deadly terrorist bombings.
We stand with India in this time of need.
The Pentagon changes course on Guantanamo detainees.
Absolutely. It's a reversal of policy.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitman. Carnage and chaos in Mumbai, the commercial capital of India that many people know as Bombay. At least 147 people were killed, hundreds more wounded in the bombings of commuter trains. CBS News correspondent Richard Roth reports.
The explosions ripped the trains open and tore off windows and doors. 8 bombs in all in a coordinated attack in the crush of the evening commute. The targets were strung out along a single rail line of Mumbai's commuter network, one of the oldest and most crowded in the world. Nearly half the city's 16 million people move on public transport every day. And hundreds today were squeezed into every train car. Some were blown out by the force of the explosions. Eyewitnesses said others jumped from moving cars, desperate to get away from the fire.
So far, no claim of responsibility, but India's prime minister blames terrorists. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice condemned the attacks.
We will stand with India on the war on terror. It simply shows that this kind of hideous incident can happen anywhere in the world against innocent people.
With that in mind, American cities stepped up security.
We are enhancing the things that you see, and we're enhancing a lot of the things that you don't. We will also increase bag searches on the subways as a precaution.
New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg. Now this.
Big meeting in the morning and you're ready. All you need is a good night's sleep, but you're twitching.
That was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Internet gambling.
We continue on today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B. Glad you're listening. You can join the conversation on the Central Coast. We have lines open at 831-899-5792. Or you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. I also entertain your emails. Send them to Peter at peterbcollins.com. Last hour, we had a conversation with Bogdan Zukovic, a whistleblower from, he formerly worked at the Federal Aviation Agency, the FAA. And he, like our next guest, is a member of the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, which was founded by Sibel Edmonds, a courageous American who is still being plagued by a gag order, a state secret gag order, originally imposed by former Attorney General John Ashcroft. Mel Goodman worked for many years as a Russian or Soviet analyst at the CIA. He left the agency in protest in the early 90s. He's written a book co-authored with Craig Eisendrath called Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neoconservatives Are Putting the World at Risk, and he serves as a fellow at the Center for International Policy. Mel Goodman, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you again.
Always nice to talk with you. And just for a moment, tell us about your connection with Sibel Edmonds and the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition.
Well, I guess I was a CIA whistleblower in 1990 and 1991. I resigned from the CIA because of the politicization of intelligence. In 1991, I testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee against the nomination of Robert Gates as CIA director because he was part of that process of politicization along with Bill Casey, mm-hmm. the CIA director. So when Sibel formed this coalition and asked me to join, I was glad to become a member. As you say, she is an extremely courageous woman. It hasn't been easy for her to do this. She's getting very little support from the established institutions and very little support on the Hill, and I think her cause is the right cause, and there's tremendous controversy over whistleblower protection, particularly for people in the intelligence services. The irony of all of this is people complain about leaks to the press, but what they don't realize, if you don't permit whistleblowers to go to the Congress with some protection, the only outlet you have for these people is to go to the press. When they're faced with violations of law, I think they have a constitutional duty because their oath as a CIA official or a foreign service officer in the State Department or a military officer is to the Constitution of the United States, not to a president, not to a policy, not to administration. So when laws are being broken, as the CIA breaks laws regularly with secret prisons and extraordinary renditions and torture and abuse, I think you have to have a place to go. And the House and Senate Intelligence Committees have not been that place, particularly under Peter Hoekstra in the House as chairman now, and Pat Roberts from Kansas, who is the chairman of the Senate committee. That
right.
is the problem.
Yeah. And it's both shameful and shameless the way the Bush administration has demagogued the New York Times over the recent disclosures of very limited information related to the SWIFT program where they were intercepting international currency transactions. And this was not a big secret, yet the push against them, I think, has been remarkably effective. Your thoughts?
I think it's been effective, and I think what I find embarrassing is how far the New York Times has gone to apologize for how difficult difficult it is to decide which kinds of stories to run their paper. This is not a controversial. George Bush himself in 2002 talked about monitoring banking programs. Al-Qaeda people are not unsophisticated. They know their commercial transactions are being monitored, and that's why they've resorted to other means over the last 4 or 5 years. And when they, when the press has sensitive stories, such as Dana Priest of the Washington Post, when the CIA asked her to remove the secret prison locations in Eastern Europe, the Washington Post did so. So the very sensitive information is protected. Mm-hmm. These papers are not trying to undermine the security of the United States. They're trying to tell a story, and they're trying to live up to the very First Amendment, which is freedom of the press, and we should never forget that.
Well, and in the Valerie Plame Joe Wilson case, you know, we're going to still have to wait and see who's held accountable for it, but we can see the outlines of an official policy of leaking information that was classified from the highest levels at the White House, and yet they can turn around and attack the New York Times, not the other papers, including the Wall Street Journal, that published the same damn information. But they attack the New York Times as a way of making an example and trying to get the rest of the media to lay down and just deliver those press releases and those Jessica Lynch packages without asking too many questions.
Exactly. And the irony here is freedom of the press wasn't granted as the First Amendment to protect an administration from besmirching the credentials of government officials or giving away the identities of covert officials. It was to allow critics of the government to step forward with a certain amount of immunity, not to allow the government to campaign against legitimate critics of government policies. And I think we know the leaks that compromised the identity of Valerie Plame, who was a covert officer, came from the White House. It came from the office of the Vice President Dick Cheney. It may have been authorized by the president himself. I find it hard to believe that Cheney stepped out in front of his own president. And clearly you have an indicted man in Louis Libby, and you had someone come very close to indictment in terms of Karl Rove. So I think the outlines of the story are well known. But yes, there's clearly a double standard. They can use the press at will, but critics of the government who are trying to adhere to law, particularly in the case of torture and abuse in secret prisons, they become humiliated and marginalized by the government.
And when Judith Miller was getting items published in the New York Times that supported the phony contention of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the Bush administration had no objection.
None whatsoever. In fact, they were providing that information to Judith Miller. They were giving her information. They were permitting her to gain access to administration sources, particularly Ahmad Shalabi, in Iraq, for the phony stories about weapons of mass destruction. So again, it's entirely a double standard, and Judith Miller not only disgraced herself, but she brought a great deal of shame down on her very own institution, which I still think is the greatest newspaper in the world today, the New York Times. But right now, the Times is being incredibly defensive, and as you say, the campaign against the Times is having more success than it should, or I would have thought.
And the silence from other media outlets is stunning.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it really is. Mel Goodman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He served at the CIA and now is a fellow at the Center for International Policy. Mel, we asked you on the show today to see if you could give us some reaction to the remarkable comments from the congressman you mentioned a few minutes ago, Hoekstra or Hoekstra. It's spelled H-O-E-K-S-T-R-A. And he is a Republican, a very conservative guy who heads up the House Intelligence Committee. And he is clearly pissed that there is a program, and to channel into the thinking of Donald Rumsfeld, this is one of those now known unknowns. We know that there is a program, a surveillance or eavesdropping or some other of a spy program that is being conducted that has not been revealed, like the data mining of phone records or the NSA eavesdropping on international communications. But we know that he is upset that he learned from whistleblowers about information that had not been shared with him by the White House, as it should have been, even if they limited their briefings to the so-called Gang of Eight.
Well, I got a copy of the letter that Hoekstra wrote to the president on May the 18th, which became the story in the New York Times on July the 9th, a very good story, I might add, by Scott Shane and Eric Lichtblau. of the New York Times. And there are all sorts of ironies in this letter. For one thing, Hextra is a loyalist. He's been very supportive of George Bush. He has made no attempt to conduct real oversight. He has protected the agency from any investigation of the secret prisons, of torture and abuse, of extraordinary renditions. He has protected the president from any investigation of how intelligence was misused in order to lie to the American people and the Congress to go to war. Now Hextra is angry because there are programs going on that he hasn't been told about. And here is a man who's been entirely unsympathetic to whistleblowers. In fact, he wants to remove the pensions of people who act as whistleblowers. But now he's been told about a sensitive program, far more sensitive than anything we've been told about thus far. So I think a reasonable guess is this must deal with a secret NSA program in which American conversations with other Americans in the United States are clearly being monitored by a national security agency, which is clearly a violation of law. Now, I'm just speculating, but we do know it's worse than anything we've been told thus far. Now, all of a sudden, Hextra is torqued by this. Someone who's defended all the other transgressions and has never been sympathetic to whistleblowers is not defending this one. He wants to be told. But there are other aspects of the letter that are quite puzzling that show Hextra's peak and even a certain amount of paranoia, because Hextra, remember, was sort of the protege of Porter Goss. Porter Goss was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee before Hextra. He became the CIA director. Hextra and Goss are very close. And now Hextra is accusing CIA officials of a conspiracy against Porter Goss to drive him out of the CIA because he was conducting reform policies. I don't know anyone other than Peter Hextra who believes that Porter Goss was a reformer. Porter Goss was at the CIA for one reason, to politicize the CIA and to punish the people who did not think intelligence was being used correctly in order to go to war. So the letter is puzzling. Some aspects of it are, I think, very important, but the business of defending Goss and going after CIA officials such as Stephen Kappes, who has now been named the deputy director of the CIA, is extremely puzzling. And also Hextra, along with Senator Santorum of Pennsylvania, is now picking up on a very old report about these chemical munitions that were buried in the 1980s, and Hextra is now saying, aha, there were weapons of mass destruction. The president was right. He was not lying. The intelligence community was not lying. The CIA was not politicizing the intelligence. Well, you would have to be extremely naive and in some ways incredibly ignorant to think that these old munition shells from the 1980s that were buried in the desert by Saddam Hussein's forces after Desert Storm would have any effectiveness whatsoever and would really represent a weapons of mass destruction program. So the letter is extremely confusing.
Shelf life had expired. Mel Goodman, we got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment for Mel, get on the line now, 831-899-5792, or toll free, 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This week on Rock Roll Real Estate, meet John Brown, president of Brown Developments. John is an investor, author, and produces a weekly TV show. If you're an investor, listen this week. John will have some hot tips for you on some great real estate opportunities. That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Roll Real Estate, heard on this station and all over Northern California. You can also listen online at rockrollandrealestate.com. For more information, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
After traffic on the ride home, it's 421, and here's Pat McAllister.
Let's take a look at that Gilroy Drive. Northbound 101, essentially between the outlets and the airport, we've got first reports of some wood debris in the lanes to the right side of the freeway. So caution for that stretch. Carmel Valley, it's an accident that's in the clearing stages, but the residual transmission fluid is a problem for city streets. This is West Carmel Valley Road, right at Rancho Fiesta Road. And this KRXA update brought to you by the folks at Hyundai. You can save big on every Hyundai car and SUV at the Hyundai Challenge Summer Clearance. It's the best time to get the best deals of the year now at your Hyundai dealer. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
Super Pat, thank you. We'll talk to you in about a half an hour.
It's a blast.
And every weekday morning, Casey's got your traffic 6 to 9 a.m. on the Stephanie Miller Show right here on KRXA 540. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes past the hour. My guest is Mel Goodman, served at the CIA, now at the Center for International Policy, and co-author a couple of years ago of Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neocons Are Putting the World at Risk. His colleague Craig Eisendrath, who co-authored the book, has been on with us many times as well. And Mel, I wanted to pursue a couple of things that you mentioned in the last segment about this phenomenal letter from Republican Hextra to the president, Republican obviously as well. One of the items is that he hints at the existence of a program that has not been properly briefed to the heads of the Intelligence Committee, or under the current policy, the entire Intelligence Committee. That changed during the Hayden confirmation process. And we have another member of your coalition, the National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, Russell Tice, who came forward last fall and at least indicated to us that there is something far more sweeping than the NSA program that was revealed in late November by the New York Times. And again, we don't know exactly what the dimensions are, but if you tie together what Tice has said with the complaints of Congressman Hextra, then we have at least the shape of a program that clearly would be very disturbing, probably violates the FISA Act and the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, there's no question that what we're dealing with is a violation of at least the FISA law and maybe the constitutional amendment against undue searches and seizures. Because what, where are we now that could be more sensitive than what we know already? And to me, the only area that's left for sensitivity is if NSA, and we were told by Mike Hayden, who formerly was the director of NSA and is now the director of CIA, that NSA is not permitted to monitor conversations between Americans in America. We know they're monitoring conversations between overseas locations and the United States if there are contacts with certain kinds of individuals overseas. So I think we're talking about conversations between Americans and Americans. And I hate to be provocative, and I don't have very good evidence, but most of the journalists that I know who work out of Washington believe their conversations are being monitored and have developed special kinds of cell phones to try to get around this monitoring. So you have to wonder, how extensive is this monitoring? How extensive is NSA gone in terms of violating the law? There's no question that if you go to NSA's charter, they're not permitted to monitor the conversations of Americans without a court warrant. And that's exactly what this administration has done.
Mm-hmm. And we know from another member of the NSWBC, Tony Schaefer, Able Danger, a data mining program that turned up the name of Mohammed Atta, that there are other issues that he'd like to come public with, but he is prevented by the politics and the use of the so-called state secret privilege.
Well, now, there's an irony here. Russell Tice has offered to testify behind closed doors before the Senate and House Intelligence Committees, and he was turned down by Senator Roberts and Congressman Hoekstra, saying that the congressmen themselves, the members of the Congress, are not cleared for the information that Russell Tice has. So in other words, this gets back to the point I was making earlier. If a whistleblower cannot go to the responsible congressional committee or the responsible member of a committee, and he sees a violation of law, where do you take this information?
Mm-hmm.
You must go to the press.
You also referenced the curious comments of Congressman Hoekstra defending Porter Goss and attacking Stephen Kappes. Kappes was fired by Goss during his, as you pointed out, political reign of just over 16 months at the Langley agency. And, you know, many people inside the agency appear to be bolstered by the idea of the return of Kappes, that he's part of the old guard that, you know, was not politicized. So what's the give and take here, and what's the deliverable?
Well, I think this boils down to the fact that Goss was extremely unpopular among the rank and file at CIA. He came out to politicize the CIA. His first memo to the troops when he came there about a year and a half ago directed them to adhere to the policies and the politics of the Bush administration. And Kappes, on a question of real principle that had nothing to do with politics, stood up to Goss. Goss had essentially ordered him to fire someone if there were going to be leaks from the security office. And Kappes said, this is a professional individual, and I'm not going to politicize my directorate in that way. So I think Kappes is a bit of a hero to many members of the CIA. I don't think they see this as a political move designed to embarrass Porter Goss. I think they see it as a move by Michael Hayden, the new CIA director, to bring back someone from the operations directorate where Hayden has no experience whatsoever, who's very popular with the rank and file, in an effort to boost morale and to sort of do what Michael Hayden did, said to the troops, was, we've got to end this amateur hour at CIA. Remember that Porter Goss was one of the most unpopular CIA directors in the history of the CIA because he had no strategic agenda for the CIA and was there to politicize. And Kappes is looked at as a professional.
Mel, about 40 seconds, just another quick question. Michael Scheuer has gone public, critical of the administration for shutting down the Bin Laden desk, the ALEC desk that was named after his son and that he previously ran. Is this just bureaucratic shuffling, or does it denote that the administration is lowering the priority of capturing or killing Bin Laden?
No, I don't think they're lowering the priority. I think in this case, Scheuer is trying to defend an institution that he set up. He was the first director of the ALEC station. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's no longer needed. You have a military operation going on in Afghanistan. I think it's inadequate. It's too small. I think it was wrong to invade Iraq when we hadn't finished the job in Afghanistan. But the ALEC station wasn't bringing up any new information. Remember, it was located in the United States. It wasn't overseas.
Mm-hmm.
It was not far from agency headquarters, and it wasn't bringing any unique information that wasn't gotten in other ways, and I think it's just outlived its usefulness.
Glad to have your point of view. Mel Goodman, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you.
That's Mel Goodman. Read his book, Bush League Diplomacy. Joining us next, Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies by him before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women to me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Oh, excuse me, I was late. I had to check foxnews.com. Because I want to see what our terror alert level is for today. It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we roll on 33 minutes past the hour, and Jason Leopold's about to join us.
I would walk 10 miles on my hands and feet. Ain't no doubt about it, baby, it's you I am to be. I'm Russell with a lion and a grizzly bear. It's my life, baby, but I don't care. Ain't that tough enough?
Yes, Americans should be tough enough after all the fear-mongering of the Bush administration these so many years. Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter for TruthOut.org, joins us this afternoon again. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and I wonder if you can help me, because I'm here at the Fox News website. I only watch Fox News occasionally,
yeah.
But when I do, you know, they have that annoying crawl, the text across the bottom of the screen. And it usually leads with the terror alert level of the day.
Right, yeah.
And so I just imagine that going to FoxNews.com after I got past the Bill O'Reilly plugs, I'd be able to find it here.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm surprised they haven't just kept it, you know, being that this is an election season, that they haven't put it up there to elevated or highly elevated or however they even, you know, I don't even know if they actually use it these days, but that wouldn't mean that Fox wouldn't, you know, take it upon themselves to
right.
throw it in there.
Well,
but,
at this point, I can't find it here, and this is not a trick question. Do you happen to know what our current color alert code is for today?
I don't. And in fact, you know, I actually contacted the Homeland Security Department, let's see, Friday, actually, you know, to ask them about that, because there really wasn't any, you know, news about whether they stopped using that or not. Here's something real funny. They didn't know either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I spoke to three different people there in the public affairs office, and not a single person was, you know, could tell me whether that is something that they still use, whether there is a change in the color code, whether
right.
it's something that, you know, they stopped using after Tom Ridge left. But this is our Department of Homeland Security, and if you were to ask them and give them a call and say, hey, what is our, you know, what is the status of,
right.
you know, the nation's security? They have no idea.
All right, now I'm about to click on a link here. I want to tell you how I got here. I put in the search window at foxnews.com the terms terror alert.
Yeah.
And after, let's see, a reference to Newt Gingrich on Hannity and Combs, anniversary of the London bombing attack, a bunch of other stuff, Yahoo search result number one for terror alert is terror-alert.com. Let's see what happens. And it says, put a real-time terror alert warning on your website.
Ooh.
And apparently we are in yellow right now. It is elevated. Significant
elevated.
Risk of terrorist attacks
yeah.
in Mumbai.
Wow.
And I'm not trying to be flip about the loss of life in India today.
Yeah, sure.
You know, this is just ridiculous.
Well, it is really ridiculous. And, you know, when I wrote a story that came out on, I guess, oh, yesterday it was, actually, about the use of how this administration, you know, call it a coincidence, but you know, at least the data is there that the public announcements about, you know, pending, you know, terrorist threats and nabbing, you know, homegrown Islamic fundamentalists who are looking to, you know, blow up buildings in New York and Chicago. It comes during a time when Bush's poll numbers just are sinking, or, you know, when the nation is undecided in, you know, who to choose for when it comes to an election.
Now,
really
what you're really trying to say is that Karl Rove sits there in his office in the White House where he has yet to be indicted and says, oh,
yeah.
I'm feeling kind of yellow today. What
yeah.
do you say?
I think Karl Rove is responsible for all evil that is happening in this country, including me. Karl Rove, you know, I got to tell you, Peter, I think the guy is responsible for everything. Yes, I'm you know, being facetious.
Yes,
but,
you are.
You know, when you look at the, you know, the polls, the numbers, the timing of these alerts, I went back and I started to research, you know, the various articles that have come out, and even the, you know, when Ashcroft was Attorney General, you know, the press conferences that he held,
right.
it always coincided with, you know, this negative information.
Or the need to change the subject.
The political need to change
the subject.
And now when you see Alberto Gonzalez come out and make these announcements and you know, saying how they, you know, they nab these suspects, it really does have a sort of history of repeating itself in a sense. You know, because that's what Ashcroft did. We are definitely, you know, it's no secret that this is an election season, and the Republicans are going to do whatever they can to, you know, regain control of both houses. They know that this is going to be a contentious election, that losing one of those houses will be disastrous for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, at this website that I stumbled on here, terror-alert.com, they have on the homepage a little box here with the various shifts in the color-coded Homeland Security advisory since it was initiated by former Secretary Tom Ridge. So it shows March 17th, 2003. That's when it was originally raised, I think, to orange.
Right.
It doesn't specifically say the color here. Then April 16th, just about a month later, and of course this March 17th was the day that we invaded Iraq.
Right.
So a month later, we moved to yellow, lowered to yellow. Then May 20th, just a month later, these are happening at roughly monthly intervals, we moved up to orange. And then 10 days later, down to yellow. And then on August 1st was this bizarre thing that Chertoff issued, which was an orange alert limited to the financial sector in New York, Washington, and northern New Jersey.
Yeah.
Now, according to this list, those are the only adjustments that have been made to the terror alert level. So we're currently on yellow, but it doesn't list when we went to yellow.
Right.
And it appears that the last time there was a change was about 3 months before the presidential election in 2004, and we've heard nary a whit about these alerts since then.
Exactly. And I think that basically what we're seeing is they're likely going to phase that out, the use of that those color-coded alert system that they've employed for a while, because I actually think that it's funny, in New York, for example, people in various parts of this country really look at this as disinformation. New York, when these alerts have come out, and I've actually, spoken, to various people out there, they look at this as just, again, election season politics. Whereas people, say, in middle America who are not threatened, look at this as very serious. So it's strange in how the people that would be most affected by, a threat or the so-called threat, just look at it as politics. And the rest of the country sees it as, wow, this president is really doing his job.
And Jason, you and I appear to be a little paranoid because we look at this situation and we assume that people are trying to manipulate us. They're trying to fearmonger the American public.
But they are.
But now, Jason, I'm now at the DHS.gov, DHS public website, where they have a slogan up here. They have another website linked, ready.gov.
Right.
Don't be afraid. Be ready.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Be ready. And be ready because, if you vote for anyone other than a Republican, this is what's going to happen.
Well,
and
you should be ready with duct tape and, some polyethylene stuff to cover your windows so that you can cower in the corner.
Yeah. It's, this is really the fact that this administration, continues to get away with this. I'm glad that more people are coming forward and going on the record to say that this is, that this smacks of partisan politics and nothing but fear mongering. And I think, obviously, what do you do when you get when you hear that, there's a threat? How do you respond to it? I mean, how do you know when it's actually true, when we're really in danger, and when it's just, a way for this administration to boost its standing? And I think that what happened in Miami, and even in New York, those two incidents, really, say that even thinking about, thought crimes at this point are considered, they'll use whatever they have to. This administration will do and use whatever it can.
Well, a couple of comments there. First of all, the most recent disclosure about intended attacks on the tunnels between New York and New Jersey is based on FBI or other agencies monitoring Islamist chat rooms on the Internet.
Right.
Now, once again, the administration, in its desire to both scare the American people and try to prove that they're doing something to protect us at the same time, is spilling information on their eavesdropping and spying techniques.
Right.
The very thing that they're complaining
exactly.
and mau-mauing the New York Times for right now.
Hypocrisy. You know, and they'll do, and the thing is that they will do it when it benefits them.
Right. And next
them.
Next to this little cell in Miami, I mean, these are Three Stooges who haven't seen the original TV shows with
right.
Larry Moe and Curly Joe. And, you know, these are guys who thought they had to have uniforms to be terrorists.
Right.
They allowed the FBI agent who had operative who had infiltrated them to lead them in an oath to Osama bin Laden.
Right.
I mean, this is, number one, from what I've seen so far of the Miami cell, it just reeks of entrapment. And number two, they didn't appear to even know where the Sears Tower was in Chicago, much less how to get explosives there and do any kind of damage to it whatsoever.
Well, it's interesting. I was in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and you know, Mayor Richard Daley, you know, had responded to this, responded to you know the announcement by Alberto Gonzalez, and he said, you know, let me assure you know the citizens of Chicago that we have this under control. There is no threat. And that's what we really don't hear about. We don't, you know, we don't get a chance to hear what they say locally. And it's dramatic. It differs dramatically from what our, you know, federal elected officials say.
Right.
And when I was there, I couldn't believe how much he was really, how upset he was.
Well, he's also, like you, very upset with Patrick Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jason,
yeah.
We got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. If you have a question or comment for Jason Leopold, join us now. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Puts you right through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Traffic 448 now, and we've got Pat McAllister on duty.
All right, let's double-check that Gilroy stretch. Turns out the lumber is northbound 101 just past Maston. The true white lanes are the ones you want to avoid. Moss Landing, Highway 1, that southbound stretch as you cross the slough there, Elkhorn Slough, reports of an injured pelican near the lanes. And it is Caltrans out in all its glory, starting bright and early tomorrow morning for your drive. That is the 10 a.m. stretch to the 2:30 stretch for the 17 commute. Northbound will be in the slow lane between Glenwood Drive and Spanish Fifth Chapel.
This update brought to you by Hyundai. Save big on every Hyundai car and SUV at the Hyundai Challenge Summer Clearance. It is the best time to get the best deals of the year. Now at your Hyundai dealer. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Pat. We'll check back with you about a half an hour from now.
All right.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 11 minutes away from the top of the hour. And Jason Leopold is on with us today, the writer from truthout.org, who has worked so diligently on the CIA leak case. And Jason, just during the break, Matt Renner, my intrepid producer, emailed me what you had sent out, I guess, over the last little while. And this is fresh breaking news that Robert Novak has finally revealed his role in this whole episode, having been informed by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald that he is, it says that the investigation of the CIA leak case concerning matters directly relating to me has been concluded. So is this an indication that Novak will not be charged?
Yeah, and actually Novak does say in that column. First, let me just say, I think the column doesn't really offer too much information, and that's typical of Bob Novak. He's clearly protecting individuals. Also, I think it's really important to let your listeners know that Joe Wilson, who obviously is the at the center of this whole thing, he's likely going to file a civil suit against various figures in the
right.
White House.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a statute of limitations on that, which is about 3 years. That is, which means that he's got only a few more days left to file that. So I think you'll probably see a civil suit filed very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I think is actually that Novak, in his putting this column out, is also a way for him to sort of change the news cycle in himself and really sort of show that, hey, this was much ado about nothing. You know, I got this information. He claims that he got this information by and large from who's who in America. But he does reveal that Karl Rove was one of his sources. And he has a primary source that he says has not stepped forward. I think that Bob Novak probably wasn't in any danger of being charged in this at all.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes me as the type of guy who who would not be willing to go to prison to protect any sources. But it's also known that Fitzgerald did know the identity of his source very early on.
The primary source,
very early on. And he did know that independent from Bob Novak. But Novak is now going on Fox News, our favorite, fair and balanced television station,
mm-hmm.
to talk about this whole thing. And I think that really he, what he's doing is trying to change the focus of the investigation, the perception that this was, an outrage to that of, I thought it was just newsworthy. It's not a real big deal. You know, in this column, he actually says that the fact that Fitzgerald has not charged his primary source or any other individuals with violating the Identities Protection Act, which relates to, leaking the identity of a covert agent, he says that, should be telling in that, they didn't break any laws. So I think that, obviously if he did get the word that his role or his focus is the focus on him is now over and done with, we'll probably start hearing some things come down the pike very soon.
Mm-hmm. Now, you posted a piece of Truth Out just a few days ago,
yeah,
on the 6th of July,
right,
indicating that Judith Miller may have been told about Valerie Plame by another White House official before her first meeting with Scooter Libby.
Right.
Tell us a little more about this.
Yeah, well, again, what's great is that, I used the 128-page transcript, which I got from the court clerk in the district court in D.C., to base this story on, and some notebooks that, or Judith Miller's notebooks that, contain information about Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson were turned over as part of the discovery process to Scooter Libby's attorneys. And in the notebooks, it indicates that prior to June 23rd, when they first spoke, she and Scooter Libby, that Libby's attorneys are maintaining that she was actually already investigating Joe Wilson. Let's remember that Nicholas Kristof, who's a columnist at the New York Times, had written about this, what Joe Wilson had been saying. Right. I believe it was in May. But
he didn't name Wilson.
He didn't name Wilson.
They were able to figure out who it was, but he wasn't overtly named.
Yeah. So, Scooter Libby's attorneys are basically trying to skirt the actual, the charges that he was indicted for, which is perjury and obstruction of justice and lying to investigators, and trying to just, again, make this about he didn't leak anything, So I think that, the transcript is just an incredible read, because it really does give people the understanding of how they're going to present the defense, how the defense is going to shape up and what they plan to talk about come next year.
Well, Jason, you talk about this a little bit in your memoir, News Junkie, but
yeah.
You are a voracious document inhaler.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that fascinated me, you pick up little tidbits when you go to these original documents.
Right.
You published a copy of the cover page of this court document, and I picked up this little tidbit that Scooter Libby is being defended by William Jeffress from the law office of Baker Botts.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that James A. Baker III's law firm, the one that defends Kuwait,
yeah,
that is on retainer for the Saudi royal family,
right.
I had no idea that they had come forward as great Americans and selfless individuals to help protect this key player from the White
That's
House.
That's right. And it's an incestuous relationship that, these folks have, and it goes back decades. In terms of documents, let me just say this. This is a very important document, just the transcript in and of itself. I'm surprised that it hasn't, it's dated May 16th, but it does not, nobody else has, had no other, I keep trying to make the point that, the mainstream media has not reported about this. And looking back, because we're now at the point where it's 3 years since Novak published this column. And, what it comes down to, Peter, is that this had to do, this whole thing had to do with the justification for war, for the war in Iraq. And Joe Wilson was a guy who said, I think this administration is lying to the American people and to Congress about the intelligence that led to the war.
Mm-hmm.
And, being that it's since it's an election season now, I think it's really important to remind people that, since that column came out, since he made, he went public, Joe Wilson, and described what he didn't find in Niger, more than 2,000 soldiers have been killed,
yeah,
in the war. And I think that when it all comes down to it, this is about, the veracity of the intelligence that, that led us to war. And I think it's a tragedy that,
Jason,
it's continuing.
Jason, about 30 seconds, there was another Truth Outpost, not written by you, that described the president's alleged role in telling Cheney to fix the problem when Wilson published his op-ed.
Yeah, well, if I may, Peter,
mm-hmm,
I actually reported that story 3 months ago, and it was...
It came from Murray Wass, right?
Right,
mm-hmm,
yes.
You're correct. I do remember that.
And, it's, again, this, what's really important to remember is that in October 2003 and September of 2003, Bush and Cheney played dumb. They lied to the American public and said they had no idea who Joe Wilson was. They had no idea about a discrediting or a smear campaign, and they were dumbfounded.
Yeah.
And we now know that these guys, president and vice president, were behind the scenes responsible for this.
Jason Leopold, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
I'm Peter B. Collins. The Free Speech Zone is open next. I hope you'll call 831-899-5792.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquor's knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquor specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Evening rush hour in Chicago. Suddenly a subway line fills with smoke.
It seemed like the back of the train derailed. I was in about the fourth car. I was standing up against the doors. You could hear something, and you could hear a repetition of loud noises coming from the back.
Officials say there was a small fire at the rear of the train, but they don't believe there was an explosion, and there's no indication of terrorism. Everyone was evacuated. At least 75 people suffering smoke inhalation have been taken to hospitals. This happened against the backdrop of terrorist bombings on commuter trains in Mumbai, India, better known as Bombay. Big city officials like New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg ordered extra precautions.
There is no information suggesting that NYC is a target of bombings like those that happened today in Mumbai. Nevertheless, we take a terror attack any place in the world, especially one on a public transport system, as a serious warning.
8 bombs ripped through trains along one rail line in Mumbai, killing at least 147 people. Kashmiri militants are suspected, but there's been no claim of responsibility. The State Department has been the target of computer hackers in recent weeks, but CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson tells us officials are minimizing the damage.
State Department spokesman Sean McCormick told CBS News he was not aware that any sensitive information had been compromised, and he pointed out only the department's unclassified computer system was involved.
Reportedly, the hacking was aimed at State Department headquarters and at offices dealing with China and North Korea. Out of control, says the president of the National Breast Cancer Coalition. While prices for nearly all prescription drugs went up last year, new cancer therapies are way ahead of the pack, up nearly 16%. Dr. Len Lichtenfeld says these price hikes hit Americans across the board.
It's not just poor people. It's not just people who don't have health insurance. It's almost everybody. There are very few people who can afford to pay copays of thousands of dollars a month or a year.
Some cancer medicines cost as much as $10,000 a month. The drug industry says it needs profits to invest in research. Expert advice for seniors. Don't just sit there, do something. A study tracked people aged 72 to 80 over 6 years and found that regular activity, even mundane things like washing dishes, vacuuming, gardening, and climbing stairs, dramatically reduced death rates. A wildfire in the California desert threatens an area you might recognize from the movies. Pioneer Town, about 2 hours east of Los Angeles, is where many Hollywood westerns were filmed, including Gunfight at the OK Corral. The town's been evacuated as firefighters try to turn the flames away. The fire has grown to about 1,000 acres. On Wall Street today, good news. The Dow Industrial's up 31 points to 11,134. The Nasdaq climbed nearly 12 points to 2128. This is CBS News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
The Michelin Man wants you to join him in the pursuit of driving pleasure. And he's willing to offer a financial incentive. Right now you can get a $50 mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of 4 new Michelin MX Series Touring tires. Visit your Michelin dealer from July 1st to July 31st to maximize the enjoyment of your car and get a $50 mail-in rebate. To find a Michelin dealer near you, visit MichelinMan.com. Michelin, a better way forward.
Plagued with problems, Boston's Big Dig Highway project suffered a tragedy last night when concrete ceiling panels fell near the entrance to the Ted Williams Tunnel, crushing a car and killing a woman inside. The tunnel system might reopen as early as tomorrow, but Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney could offer little reassurance when questioned by a reporter.
Would you load the grandkids in the car and go through there Wednesday afternoon?
Well, it's going to give everybody pause, isn't it, to take their family through the tunnel system.
Romney's taking legal action to remove the head of the state turnpike authority. Massachusetts Attorney General Tom Riley is investigating and says anyone found responsible might be charged with negligent homicide. Baseball's All-Star Game this evening was preceded by an auction that included the baseball Babe Ruth hit for the first home run at the very first All-Star Game in 1933.
Sold $700,000. Congratulations.
That makes it one of the most valued pieces of American sports memorabilia. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Big meeting in the morning and you're ready. All you need is a good night's sleep, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning and the pain.
Ooh.
Is driving you insane.
I gotta get some sleep. I should use Preparation H.
Why keep tossing and turning because of the itching and burning? Use Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief. Relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. Nighttime's the right time too. For Preparation H cream, pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show 6 minutes after the hour. We're heading into the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject from any viewpoint from any location within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now, and be gentle. Carl is sitting in today. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. Or you can call me toll-free on 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Every week we check in with Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, working on that corruption thing, and there's a whole lot of work to do. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine today. You know, we're going to talk first about this Congressman Don Sherwood, a Republican, and he has the name of an infamous West Coast disc jockey. Don Sherwood ruled San Francisco radio during the 1950s and early 60s. He was a wacky guy, very unpredictable, and seems that Mr. Sherwood, a Republican from Pennsylvania, is a car dealer, and that some of the money that he's been able to funnel to certain agencies wound up at his car dealership. Explain.
That's right. Don Sherwood is on the Appropriations Committee, which, as we've talked about on your show before, that seems to be a key spot for members to rake in the cash and give out the favors. And so Don Sherwood gave a $750,000 appropriation to somebody, and in return, the folks he gave the appropriation to went ahead and bought a truck from his own Ford dealership.
Mm-hmm. And this is not kosher. At least it doesn't seem like it to me, because it at least has the appearance that the original appropriation was going to at least indirectly or to some extent benefit the man who voted for it.
That's right. It does. You know, at the very least, it gives the appearance of a conflict of interest, which members of Congress are supposed to avoid. That's one of the rules, that they avoid conflicts of interest. And it appears as if, although he claims he didn't know, it appears as if he gave the appropriation so they'd buy the truck from him. And I just want to make sure that you know that this is not Don Sherwood's sort of first run-in with an ethics issue. Mr. Sherwood was earlier in the year caught after having a five-year affair. He's in his 60s with a 20-something-year-old that he picked up at a young Republican convention. And the reason we all know about it is because the police were called when she called the police after he was allegedly abusing her.
Wow.
So there's a whole mystery. He's a family values Republican, was having a five-year affair with this young woman. He was in her 20s, and he was apparently abusing her as well. And now, in addition to that, we have the incident with the truck, which was purchased with money that he appropriated for these folks.
And the issue with the mistress was settled last November with a $5.5 million confidential settlement?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure about the amount. She sued him for $5.5 million.
I see.
And I suspect she settled for a little bit less, but I'm sure it was substantial because there was a settlement out of court.
Wow. Well, you got to sell a lot of trucks to cough up an extra, you know, even if it was reduced to $2.5 million. That's a hit even for a guy who makes $165,000 a year.
That is, and I have to say, you know, this is a guy who runs on the family values platform of the Republican Party, and this was a five-year affair with the woman he picked up at a young Republicans convention. So I think the combination of that plus the truck, I mean, I think, frankly, these things should give the voters of Pennsylvania around the Scranton area some concern.
We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You can visit their website to get more information about these cases, Citizens for Ethics, citizensforethics.org. Now, we have learned recently that Jack Abramoff did, in fact, visit the White House more often than the Bush administration has previously admitted.
That's right. Thanks to a lawsuit that we have and a conservative group as well has called Judicial Watch, we've now learned that Jack Abramoff has been to the White House at least seven times, but apparently that's still not all. So we still have a pending lawsuit against the administration to find out all the records because they're still withholding some. Initially, they'd only given up a record showing that Abramoff had been there three times, and now they, quote, recently discovered that they had records indicating that he'd been there an additional four times, including into the private residence for a holiday party.
Oh, really?
I know, you're just shocked to learn this information. But he also had several meetings with people. He was there on behalf of the Indian tribes, which he knew because he told us, although the Bush administration had denied it. So the question is, how many more times was he there? And not only how many times was he there, but how many times were his colleagues there, the people who lobbied on his behalf, including Mike Scanlon, who's already pleaded guilty, and Neil Boltz, Representative Nay's former chief of staff. So we have our lawsuit that's pending to find out all of his colleagues' visits to the White House, as well as Mr. Abramoff. And I think the Secret Service will be in court for a while, I guess.
Now, this is a little off the subject, but many of us have been curious about how many visits Ken Lay, the recently departed Enron chief executive, made into the White House, particularly to the Cheney Energy meetings. Do you know if anybody has attempted to get those records released?
You know, I don't know if anybody has specifically asked about Ken Lay's visits to the White House, but I do know that Judicial Watch, as I said, a generally conservative organization, had, along with the Sierra Club, tried to find out about who was involved in all of the meetings that the Energy Task Force that Dick Cheney had, and the Supreme Court ultimately decided that they didn't have the right to that information, so we may never know that.
Yeah, very interesting. Now on to Dollar Bill Jefferson, the guy with $90,000 in FBI cash in his freezer. He's the Democrat from Louisiana, and the House Democrats did remove him from his position on appropriations. Or was it Ways and Means?
It was Ways and Means.
Thank you.
And there was a very interesting court decision that just came down from the chief judge in the district court of the District of Columbia, where Mr. Jefferson had tried to argue, and along with, by the way, the House of Representatives, both the Republicans and the Democrats, had argued on his behalf that no documents that had been taken from the search of his office that was conducted pursuant to a search warrant. He tried to argue that all such documents were protected by the speech or debate clause and by the separation of powers, and a judge today held that yesterday held that was not in fact the case, and those documents could be used against Mr. Jefferson. But today Mr. Jefferson announced that he intends to appeal, so that saga is continuing.
Well, and this echoes your sentiments as you expressed them a few weeks ago, that while generally you do respect some certain privileges of members of Congress, as the judge pointed out, if he sided with the House members who were opposing the legality of this search, he would be creating a crime zone or a potential crime zone at the Capitol where the authorities had no access.
That's right, and that's exactly what Chief Judge Hogan said in his opinion today. He said that Mr. Jefferson and the House were arguing for this ability to act with total impunity, and for there to be this zone where all crimes and all the anything related to any crime could be deposited in a House office, and they were trying to argue that it would be protected, and the Chief Judge didn't buy that. And I frankly doubt that any appellate court will either, but I guess we'll see.
Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi made a comment yesterday. She said no one's above the law. Congressional members should not be allowed to use their offices to conceal criminal activity. But she added that this particular search could have been conducted in a manner that fully protected the ability of the prosecutors to obtain the evidence needed to do their job while preserving constitutional principles.
Well, you know, that's funny because she says that now that 90% of people polled have felt that Congressman Jefferson's office shouldn't be above the law. Because it's interesting, you know, that the only time that Congress has felt the need to start stepping in about unreasonable searches is when it's a search of a member of Congress who maybe corrupts office, and most people haven't been particularly sympathetic to that. Dennis Hastert, who was previously quite vocal on this issue, has refused to comment publicly about this latest court decision. So I think Congress is realizing that, you know, this may not be the one place where they should finally say, hey, we've had enough. It's too much unreasonable searches. So I think it's sort of interesting to see that their reaction to this. But I do believe that the Justice Department has been working with members of Congress now to see if they can come up with future principles on how these searches will be conducted. And frankly, they can't, because Congress's position is that the only way that the Justice Department can come in, according to a valid warrant, is if the member of Congress then willingly hands over the material with the member of which the member of Congress decides is not privileged under the speech or debate clause. So you're asking the crook, the potential crook, to make the decision of what's not protected material, and that's just not realistic. And that's what the court found today.
Well, and if they're going to stand and fight for privacy, I want it to be mine.
That's right, and I think that's exactly why you're hearing a more muted reaction from Congress now that this new court decision came down, as opposed to the reaction after the initial search where they were all so outraged. I think they've realized that, you know, most members of the public feel like, well, gosh, you haven't cared about our privacy at all. You've not cared about a single search that the Bush administration has been conducting for years, and now you're outraged? They find it a little hard to buy, as frankly do I.
Yeah. Melanie, thanks a lot. I just want to tip a hat to you that the Washington Post expanded on a story that you first reported to us about Congressman John Doolittle of California, whose wife Julie runs his campaign committees and collects a 15% commission on every dollar that comes in. And the Washington Post story went into some detail about how the money is spent. I don't have time in this segment, but I will cover it in an upcoming segment. I just want to thank you for your hard work in bringing that one to light.
My pleasure, and we'll be talking about John Doolittle and many more segments to come, Peter.
All right. Thank you, Melanie Sloan. Visit the website, crewcitizensforethics.org. 17 minutes past the hour. Your calls are coming up in the next segment and for the remainder of this hour, so get on the line and tell me what's on your mind. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
KRXA 540 looks at your ride home. It's 521 now, and Pat McAllister has the details.
And unfortunately, there's a lot to have details about. Let's start with Hollister. There is a motorcycle officer down on Highway 156 west of the Alameda. Not a shooting. It is a traffic crash. Turns out he's not a CHP officer, but an officer out of Watsonville. So they're going to land an air helicopter to get him some medical attention. Again, this is 156 west of the Alameda. Southbound 101 past 146 at the Salinas River Crossing. Little red car there ran out of energy. It did limp its way, though, to the center divide, so it's a visual distraction. No lanes currently blocked. Your KRXA update brought to you by GoldenPalace.com. Do you love Star Trek enough to beam William Shatner's kidney stone into your house?
No.
Neither do I. Golden Palace did, though, and they'd like you to ogle over that. So you can go today, play free Vegas-style games in Texas Hold'em there.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And you're not on the line right now. Would you do something about that, please? 831-899-5792 or toll-free, 888-579-2540. Your free speech rights are available here on the PBC Show.
I heard a dark voice inside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one that a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other. I say I don't like crickets.
Oh, no.
I love it.
Yes, we're here in the free speech zone, and your calls and comments are quite welcome. I've got lines available. Central Coast, local call, 831-899-5792. Toll free from anywhere else, 1-888-579-2540. As I referenced with Melanie Sloan before we ran out of time in the preceding segment, there's an interesting development in the case of John and Julie Doolittle. John is the Republican congressman from District 2 in California. That's up north. Maybe it's number 4. It's either 2 or 4. Anyway, he's a longtime incumbent, and he is knee-deep in the Abramoff scandal. His wife, Julie, did some work for Abramoff, But she's also a professional fundraiser who runs a little company called Sierra Dominion Financial Solutions, whose sole source of income is the Election Campaign and Political Action Committee run by her husband, John Doolittle. And she rakes a 15% commission off the top of every contribution that comes in to the PAC and to his campaign committee. And she's been spending the money on friends and supporters, $40,000 in gifts, flowers, club memberships, stays at romantic inns. They dropped a bunch of money, $2,100 on gifts from the Bose Corporation. Those wave radios are nice. $5,000 in purchases from Best Buy, $1,000 trip to Saks Fifth Avenue in Baltimore. And they have explanations for this. They claim that they, gave most of this away as gifts to campaign supporters and volunteers. But it stinks. And I'm not aware of any other member of Congress who uses his wife as the fundraiser and gives her a 15% commission. And as a community property state, California construes the income to Mrs. Doolittle as income to Mr. Doolittle. And it just stinks. Enough said about that. George W. Bush gave a speech today gloating about the economic recovery under his watch and the benefit of all those frickin' tax cuts. Let's just report to you the top four budget deficits of all time. They're all held by one man, George W. Bush. His 2004 budget was out of whack by $413 billion. His 2003 budget was in the red by $378 billion. His 2005 budget was in the red by $318 billion. And, yeah, he's getting it under control. It's only $296 billion projected this year, and there's been a windfall in unexpected receipts over the last couple of months, just like happened in California this year. So you don't have too much to brag about, W. So cut it out, will you? All right, to your calls we go. 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Up first, Ben in Salinas. Hello, Ben.
Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
I'm pretty angry about a lot of this stuff going on, like the way they're balancing up this new $300 billion budget. Mm-hmm. The other $197,000, from what I've been hearing on financial report, $197 billion, has been taken out of the Social Security Trust Fund again. When are these people going to learn that's not his money to spend?
Yeah.
We need to get our representatives, as I've been burning up the phone lines, get them to bring H.R. 219 to a vote, the Social Security Protecting Act. Put some teeth in it. Prison the people that put people in prison that break that rule. You know, and
well,
we
and,
can
and
use
hold, on, hold on a sec, Ben. I mean, what we have is a wholesale breakdown of any kind of fiscal discipline in Washington under this Republican administration.
Yes.
And they have played fast and loose with all kinds of accounting rules, the way the budget is created. The deficit figures that I just told you about don't include the war in Iraq.
The war
because
budget,
just like Enron, they financed that offshore, off the books.
And yeah, and to all you computer wizards out there, there is what's called the general fund and there's the comprehensive budget, the one that tells us how much we're spending on 12 permanent bases and the biggest embassy in the world in the new kingdom of Iraq, U.S. territory. Now, here's what we have to do. Stop letting the Republicans frame the references for this upcoming election. They want to build it around gay rights and immigration and this and that for Jesus and Jesus while the killing goes on. Well, we got a point here to give all of our members of Congress a two-point report card, and I'm serious. Let's turn the tables on them. How are they going to vote on H.R. 219, the Social Security Protection Act, and let each one that votes, Republican or Democrat, give them an A if they support this Social Security protection, mm-hmm. Or an F for failing to do it, and let all the world know. Because if and publicize how each and every one of them vote. The people, even Republicans, they need their money. And Karl Rove today saying there's no way we can accept stem cell research. That's point number two. Give them an A if they support stem cell research, which is going to directly affect the Medicare thing because well people don't need as much care.
Right. And Ben, your your previous point is on target. Al Gore was derided by Saturday Night Live picking up on his line in 2000 about the lockbox for Social Security. But if we put it in a lockbox or anything like that, we wouldn't have the key problems that face us and that will get even worse in the future. Ben, thanks for your call today. More calls coming up next here in the Free Speech Zone. I want to hear from you. Grab a line, 888-579-2540, toll free, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour. We are in the Free Speech Zone. And at the moment, my switchboard is wide open, so if you get on the line, it'll not be forever on hold. You can get in and get out quickly, and I'd like to hear what you have to say. We've had some fascinating discussions on the program today. Bill Katovsky and the whistleblower Bogdan Zukovic joined us in the first hour. Mel Goodman talked about the Congressman Hextra's complaints to the White House about the super secret program we don't know about yet. And we also talked with Jason Leopold about the political benefits of the terror alert system. We are on yellow today. I know you're aware of that. And Melanie Sloan detailed some of the ethical challenges in Washington, D.C. these days. You can talk about those issues or anything else in the news. Grab a line now, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And we have a couple of callers getting on the line right now. I appreciate that. We'll get to you in just a second. But I thought I'd share a little bit of news that is, it's refreshing to those of us who don't like the conservative dominance of American media. Yes, about a year and a half ago, a study was conducted that showed that conservative voices just in the radio business account for 41,000 hours a week of talk shows. And the rest of us, including middle-of-the-roaders and those of us who claim progressive, liberal, or left, accounted for about 3,100 hours a week. That is a 14-to-1 ratio. And it is occasionally discouraging when the dominant media is conservative hacks. Ah, but there's a little good news coming from U.S. Politics Today. During the past 3 months, traffic at RushLimbaugh.com has declined by 18%. At Fox News, their website traffic is down 13%. Ann Coulter is busy attacking widows, orphans, harpies, she calls them. And you would think that all the attention and the promotion of her new book would raise the visiting numbers at her website? Sorry, you dumb blonde. And that's not fair to other blondes, but in Ann's case, it's warranted. Traffic at AnnCoulter.com is down 10%. And the reversal seems to be common across the entire right-wing side of the Internet. BillO'Reilly.com has dropped 40%. Wow. That gives us hope about taste of Americans. The Washington Times website, traffic is off by 27%. Matt Drudge is down 21%. And if you think that everybody is suffering from declines, here's just one example. Traffic at MoveOn.org, up 13%. Ah, that feels good, doesn't it? I'm going to save that. And next time I get discouraged, I'll pull it out and read it to you again. All right, let's go to the phones, and there's room for your call right now. 888-579-2540, toll free. Chris in Salinas, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter, have you been, how about George Bush congratulating Calderon for winning the vest, but it hasn't even been decided yet?
Oh, yeah, it won't be certified until the 6th of September.
Perfect. That's, he's picking his puppet over there, I guess.
Well,
I wanted to say. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of issues there. First of all, it does appear that there are substantive questions about the validity of the vote in Mexico, and it will be interesting to see how the Mexican Election Commission deals with them over the next 6 weeks or so. I am pleased that López Obrador has officially asked for a recount in, I think, 51,000 precincts, and I am hopeful that this review of the balloting and counting will lead to a different outcome. I personally would like to see López Obrador take over in Mexico.
Yeah, but I would too.
But the bottom line is, I want the world and the Mexican people to have confidence in their electoral results. And to date, we can't say that.
This whole deal in Mexico is shaped Ohio and Florida. And the one thing I like about Obrador is he's standing up and he's getting people out there to stand up with him. Unlike our politicians like Kerry and Gore, who just put their tail between their legs and then went and hid.
Well, you're absolutely right. I was pleased that Lopez Obrador led what is described as an entirely peaceful rally on Saturday, with between 100 and 150,000 Mexican citizens coming out to this public area in Mexico City. So I agree with you. I think that is the model. And he also has been very clear that he wants any protest to be peaceful, because that's a whole part of his history. If you recall, the current powers in Mexico, Vicente Fox's people, tried to keep Lopez Obrador off the ballot by accusing him of crimes. And he successfully rallied the public, and they pushed that back, and he did wind up on the ballot. Now they're trying to deny him in a different way.
Yeah, we can learn some lessons here in America from this.
I
mean, all the things that are going wrong in Mexico, same things that happened in Florida. I mean, they're suppressing the vote, they're stuffing the ballot boxes, they're... You know, Greg Palast is in Mexico right now, and there was a good interview with him earlier. You know, I wish I could tape it or something, but you should try to get him on your show, maybe.
Oh yeah, I like Greg, so we'll make a note of that and see if we can get him on. He's been traveling a lot on a book tour, so it's a little harder to pin him down, but we'll see what we can do about that. And I appreciate the tip.
Hey, take it easy.
You too, Chris. Thanks for the call. That leaves a line open for you, Central Coast, local call, 831-899-5792, or toll free at 888-579-2540. I have a question. Whatever happened to Dennis in King City? Dennis, if you're out there, check in. Just want to know that you're okay and still listening. Here's some other interesting information that came into my inbox recently. You've no doubt heard about the trendy demographic subgroups that political scientists get excited about. You know, soccer moms, NASCAR dads, office park dads, security moms, wired workers, you know. Well, a conservative Republican named Ryan Sager has written a fascinating story this week about a subgroup called Walmart voters. Now, maybe you've heard that Costco shoppers vote Democratic while Walmart shoppers vote GOP. But this guy Sager cites a Zogby poll that highlighted a noticeable partisan divide. 85% of frequent Walmart shoppers voted for Bush. And 88% of the people who never shop at Walmart voted for Kerry. This is really interesting. Earlier this month, Bush's approval rating among Walmart shoppers dropped to just 35%. Compared to a 45% positive rating from born-again Christians, 49% from NASCAR fans, and 54% from self-identified conservatives. Whoa, is the Walmart support eroding for Bush? For that matter, it says 51% of Walmart voters agreed with the statement that it's time for the Democrats to take over and run Congress. Wow. So this is an interesting little indicator. I can't say that it is conclusive, but because it suits my personal bias, and I'll be honest about that, it tickles me to imagine that Walmart voters who were so strong for Bush and the Republicans are now having second thoughts like the rest of us. Ever since the Gingrich Revolution went off course and the GOP took a beating for instigating the government shutdowns of 95 and 96, the Republican Party has been trying to prove to jittery, low-to-moderate-income voters that it's not all that anti-government. Instead, it's hoped to hold these voters' loyalty by pressing their cultural hot buttons, you know, gay marriage, flag-burning, gay flag-burning, married gays burning flags, and after 9/11, making the case that the Democrats are not to be trusted on national security. But this year, voters are fed up with the war in Iraq, and other than that, they're focused on the economy, immigration, health care, and gas prices. None of this cuts in favor of the GOP with the Walmart set. Walmart voters are giving Democrats a 6-point edge as to who's better equipped to handle foreign policy, an 18% edge on health care, and a 25% margin on gas prices. So, this is a very interesting phenomenon. And I want to credit my friend Stephen Pizzo, who blogs at newsforreal.com, for assembling this information and the clever lines in there about gay flag-burning voters. You know what I mean. Okay. And one more item here, and gosh, I wish I had flipped the pages after talking with Chris and Salinas about the election in Mexico. And this was written by Greg Pallast, and I printed it out last Friday, and I'm just getting around to it. He writes in his own clever style. He said, and the winner in Mexico's presidential contest is Señor Blanco. And he goes on, the official count of the ruling party, 36.38% for the ruling party, 35.34% for the challenger. Or, to put names and numbers to it, the Bush-ophiliac candidate Felipe Calderón collected 402,000 more votes than Bush-bashed Andre Manuel López Obrador. But the big winner was Mr. Blank. 827,000 ballots in Mexico with no mark for president. Ouch. And Greg Pallast writes, I smell something rotten. Ode to Ohio, vintage 2004. In that state, as in Mexico this week, the presidential winner, Bush, had victory margins smaller than the combined undercount, blank ballots, and rejected and mangled ballots. Blank ballots are rarely random. In the U.S., nearly 88% were cast in 2004 in minority areas, the result of bad voting machines, says Pallast. That is, Democrats' ballots spoil or blank out a heck of a lot more than Republican ballots. What about in Mexico? Well, Greg Pallast says, I intend to find out. As soon as I saw the official vote count, I booked a plane to Mexico City. I'll be there, and he is there now. And he is doing his investigation at this time. So, Chris, thank you for that tip, and we will get in touch with Greg Pallast and see if we can get him back on the program as soon as his schedule permits. That's what I got for now. We're going to take a quick break and return. I'd like to hear from you. Your calls and comments are welcome in the free speech zone here. It's summertime, and some people are traveling on vacation with the family. We understand that, but that means those of you who never call have a chance to step forward and be heard. So get on the line now. Central Coast, a local call at 831-899-5792. And if you're listening in Eureka or on your computer, call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Welcome to your life.
takes one more look at traffic on the ride home. 548 now. Here's Pat McAllister.
And we do have problems. Watsonville, Highway 129, head-on crash. And that's at Rogie Lane with one car reportedly now ignited in flames. So definitely a stretch you want to avoid if you possibly can. Oh, better locale for that crash. Motorcycle officer down. That's Highway 156 west of the Alameda San Juan Batista. Your KRXA update brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Now at Mattress Discounters, every Simmons Beauty Rest Sealy Posturepedic mattress set on sale. Plus, you're going to sleep free for up to 12 months on approved credit. Mattress Discounters. Have a good sleep for less. Pat McAllister with traffic on KRX 540.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Take the rest of the day off. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a beauty.
All right. And coming up right after 6 o'clock, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks here on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And we're here in the free speech zone, and I'm waiting for you to call. I haven't heard from you all day, and just want to make sure you're okay. Lines available, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540. Gary in Santa Cruz, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Show. Hi, Gary. How's it going?
Pretty good. First-time caller.
Well, thank you. We'll be gentle.
The first thing I'd like to say is I think what we need out here is an Air America news station. You know, so many people are, you could walk down the street and they're watching the TV all night long. And we need this sort of information on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that right off the top.
Well, there are a few outlets. If you have a satellite dish, a dish TV system, free speech television, and Link TV.
I'm 0 for 3 there, 0 for 4.
Are carried on that service, but it's not available on broadcast or cable. You make a good point.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pull it in. In fact, it's a poor signal out here in Santa Cruz. At least where I'm at.
Yeah.
What I'd like to mention is I've been seeing these photo ops that these brand new out of Annapolis and West Point, these innocent graduates with Cheney and Bush. And I'd like to see a photo op with these guys at Andrews and some of these poor guys that have come back looking like Max Cleland.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see that. And I've got two sons that are over there as we speak.
Oh, you do?
And I'm pretty nervous about things.
I'll bet. Where are they stationed, do you know?
Baghdad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In the green zone or on the street?
Well, one of them's in the Air Force, and he's in the green zone, and the other one's a Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
And he just arrived there today, and my son in the Air Force, he's been there for a couple of months. And it's got me nervous.
Gary, just without me trying to put any words in your mouth, tell me what goes through the mind of a father of two soldiers whose lives are on the line in a war that I think is just a travesty and was a big mistake from the word go.
Well, as do I. As a matter of fact, while they're over there, I'm in peace marches. I've been involved in everything I possibly can. I listen to you guys nonstop, and I just am so infuriated when I hear that they're just running Rush Limbaugh over there in Baghdad and that sort of thing. And
yeah,
my Navy SEAL son, he is, used to be really cool. He's been in for 14 years, and prior to 9/11, it was, I don't know, it was, there was a lot of pride there. It was kind of like rooting for a football team or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then the war came along. And I was real proud of him going to Afghanistan, but when he went to Iraq, I just was, no, this isn't right.
And Gary, you've told us that one son's a Navy SEAL, the other's in the Air Force. Those skill sets are not really appropriate for an occupying police force, are they?
Not at all. And in fact, right off the top, right after 9/11, my Navy SEAL son, the first thing he did, which I didn't understand whatsoever, he went to Bosnia, and of course they had the Croats, the Muslim, and the Serb situation, but apparently there was some Al-Qaeda. He's with this terrorist extraction team, and so off he went to Bosnia. and he spent his first deployment there. From there, he went to Afghanistan, and he was part of the team that guarded Karzai. And in fact, I don't know if your listenership recalls, but there was a story there where, you know, they had photos of some of these guys that were guarding Karzai that had fairly salty appearances, longish hair and beards and stuff, and some of these retired generals back here thought it was just, you know, crazy that the military has gotten to that point. Well, my son was deployed. He was on the front page of the paper when that thing went down. But since then, he's been to Somalia, and he's been back to Iraq. He's been back to Afghanistan, and, you know, they do these four-month real intense deployments, unlike some of these guys that are over there for a year or more. They reel these guys back in because just the intensity is so such that...
Well, and they don't have reinforcements.
No, they don't, and they bring them back. But the main point I want to make, you know, it was, for a while I saturated myself in news, and all there was cable news. And then finally, John Stewart came along. And so I just breathed a sigh of relief. It was, oh, my God, okay, finally, there's somebody that is, it frightened me to see all these, you know.
Well, it's sad, though, that the only real show that takes on this administration on a regular basis is a comedy show, a fake news show.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And for a while, you know, I mean, the sort of discussion that we're having right now, you just couldn't have.
Right.
And
Gary, I really appreciate the call, and I encourage you to call us again. Don't be a stranger here. And drop me an email. Keep me posted on how your sons are doing, and I'll certainly keep them in my mind.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Gary, good to hear from you. Now to Ruth in Carlotta, up near Eureka. Hello, Ruth. You're on the Peter B. Show.
Hi, Peter. I just want to, you know, there are things that we can do. And the latest thing that I think might be really encouraging and something positive for all of us to do who are concerned about the voting situation is to go to blackboxvoting.org and sign up to be a hand counter. I think one of the problems is with recounts is they don't have enough people to do the hand counts. You can volunteer to be a counter, and you can also state whether or not you're willing to travel. And I think if we just had thousands of people sign up, you know, that might be a key.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's interesting because Hillary Clinton gave a speech today where she kind of obliquely referred to problems in Ohio in 2004. She wasn't willing to say the election was stolen, but she said that people should watch Ohio like a hawk.
Uh-huh.
And so in her own straddling third way, she's trying to approach the issue. And, you know, that's a little bit of progress. But I do agree that this is something that we can do as citizens, and we should do that. And speaking of counting votes, I just got a note from Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. He appeared with Catherine Cryer on Court TV tonight. Said it was an excellent segment. They even talked about Tony Anshundo, the tainted former registrar of voters in Monterey County.
Right.
And it aired at 5 p.m., but there may be a replay on Court TV if you can stomach all the other trash they play. So thanks for your call, Ruth.
Okay, thank you.
And we've got Peter B. from Salinas. Hello, Peter. Let's see if he's there. Hi, Peter. One more time. I thought he was there. Well, guess we can't pick up that call. Let me see if I read down the screen. Oh, we lost him. Thanks, Carl. Carl Wilford's been sitting in yesterday and today because one of our main men here at the Peter B. Collins Show, James Pena, is the proud father of a young baby born just last week. And we hope James is going to be back with us tomorrow, if not the next day. And so Carl's been very busy there pinch hitting, and we really appreciate it. That about does it for the Peter B. Collins Show today. Where's my list here for tomorrow? I always keep it handy. Let's see. Faz Shakir is going to be on with us. Sam Gardner, a retired Air Force general who knows more about the situation in Iran. He'll bring us up to speed on the recent article by Seymour Hersh. And now that I've said that, I just read Thursday's lineup for you. Tomorrow, David Sirota, who has a powerful book out about corruption in Washington, will be with us. Amy Jussel, who wants to warn parents about things your kids are doing with TV, computers, and digital devices. She'll be on with us. And comedian Doug Ferrari tomorrow, too, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining me. I hope you'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same station.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Israeli forces have stepped up their two-week offensive in Gaza. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan in Gaza City reports the home of a Hamas activist has been destroyed in an airstrike.
I'm standing in front of a house. It's a massive building that's been completely and utterly destroyed. Now you can see that the roof has collapsed. There is a huge crowd of Palestinians who are still trying to pull people from the wreckage. I saw in one ambulance people lifting smoldering pieces of a human body into the back of an ambulance.
Local officials say five people, including two children, were killed. Reportedly, a second airstrike targeted a car in the area, leaving three people wounded. Israeli tanks and troops are also on the move in Gaza, putting pressure on the Palestinian militants who captured a young Israeli soldier. Some frightening moments this evening for passengers in the Chicago subway. Fire filled a tunnel after an eight-car train derailed.
You couldn't see 5 feet in front of you. If the person ahead of you, you could see maybe a silhouette, and you just had to go with that. I didn't see any serious injuries until I got out. A lot of people had inhaled a lot of things that they shouldn't have.
The fire department says at least 120 people were taken to hospitals, most suffering smoke inhalation. The cause of the derailment and fire hasn't been determined, but they say there's no indication of terrorism. In Mumbai, India, chaos on a rail line in the city better known as Bombay after eight bombs exploded on commuter trains, killing at least 147 people. Kashmiri militants are suspected, but there's been no claim of responsibility.
I'm Tom Foti with the president in Milwaukee. Although Mr. Bush declined the opportunity to comment on the situation in India when asked specifically, the White House later put out a statement in Washington while he was traveling here in Milwaukee. The White House quoting the president as saying the United States stands with the people and the government of India and condemns in the strongest terms these atrocities which were committed against innocent people as they went about their normal lives.
Mr. Bush visited a shoe factory in Milwaukee and attended a fundraiser for Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Green. Virginia Republican Bob Goodlatte is a sponsor of a bill approved by the House today that would make Internet gambling off-limits to Americans.
Online gambling can result in addiction, bankruptcy, divorce, crime, and moral decline.